Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Tabletop Champions Podcast. I'm Sean, your Dungeon Master, and with me tonight, we have Lauren, who plays Ophelia.
What do you call a Yeti who does a lot of sit-ups? The Abdominal Snowman.
Stephanie, who plays Kuviana.
Ahoy, hoy.
Matt, who plays Wrath.
For glory.
Ben, who plays Balinor.
Hello.
And Kyle, who plays Barry Dingle.
Hello and welcome to the Tabletop Champions Podcast. I'm Sean, your Dungeon Master, and rip it and rip it, baby.
I didn't click on your thing tonight. You know what I really wanted to do is I wanted to get a Slim Jim and try and snap it, but I tried it and
they
it doesn't
don't
make a noise.
Actually make a noise, yeah.
I know, I was unfortunate. So anyway, yeah, guys, so we're getting ready for heist time.
Last
couple of sessions you did prep, which I'm very proud of all of you for that.
Thanks.
The whole last episode was basically a montage,
right?
Montage. And then,
now you guys are waking up in the morning the day of the heist.
Okay.
All right. Well.
Okay.
I guess
some people had interesting evenings.
Yeah. Ophelia's gonna wake, or you know, have breakfast ready for Kuviana when she gets up.
Okay.
And, Arlen, how'd you sleep last night?
Oh, I just felt just fine. I slept like a baby. Why do you ask?
Well, I just had weird dreams. Maybe this house is getting to me. I don't know. Just want to make sure you're okay is all.
Well, darling, what's wrong? Why did you not sleep well?
I had dream about that night you got taken.
When I got taken?
In the mirror.
I'm aware. Why were you dreaming about that? What happened?
I don't know if some weird shit.
I'm going to interject here. It did not appear to be the night that she was taken.
Oh, I thought it was.
No.
Whoopsies.
I'll message you on the side really quick.
Thank you. My notes were wrong.
It was a confusing time, Lauren.
A lot happened. Oh, whoopsies. Okay, cool. Tight. Backtrack. Man, my dream was fucked up. Do you remember anything? We haven't really talked about it, but do you remember anything about the Shadowfell when you were taken?
I guess what do you mean as far as like my time there? It's pretty fuzzy. I mean, I remember being there, but I don't remember a lot about being there. Why do you ask?
I had a dream that you were in a weird place in the Shadowfell, and you yelled at me and jumped in some sort of portal. But I didn't recall anything of that sort.
Oh, you saw me and you saw me jump through a portal?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just my vivid imagination acting up. You know, yesterday was a little bit stressful with our stuff. But I want to make sure you're okay, Zal. It just seems
honey, I'm here. But everything's fine. I don't know why you're so worried. I mean, I know it was a traumatic experience, but no, everything's fine. You know, I'm here. You're here. We're happy together. We're about to embark on a great journey to go get a ring. I mean, I don't want you to worry your pretty little head, and I need you to not stress out and worry about such things. but I mean, so just me jump through a portal? That seems weird.
Hey, I'm going to ping you.
Uh-oh.
Do you have physical dice on you?
Me?
Yeah.
No, but I can. Oh, I do. I have a D20. I have one right here. Of course I do. I'm a fucking nerd.
Nerd.
I crit.
You crit?
I crit.
Damn.
Okay. I had Steph roll something, but
I can hear it.
Yeah. I have a picture to prove it. But I guess nothing else seemed out of place with that dream.
It seemed something that I wasn't sure of. Hold on.
Do you have a physical dice on you?
Of course I do, Sean. You met me. I've got 7 sets of dice on my desk alone right now.
And then say the number aloud. Your total.
Oh, no. Oh.
Okay. That's all I need to know. Okay,
continue. That's pretty accurate. It's probably going to be like a 5 total. Let me double check that number.
That's fine. That's all I needed to know.
No, I think you should find out the number. No, I'm just joking. Now, listen, nothing to worry your pretty little head about, baby. I mean, I understand it was scary, and oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, but that's behind us now. We don't need to worry about that anymore, okay? You promise me you put it behind you? I know. Scary, but I'm here. I mean, I know we got to figure out this whole shadow business, but I mean, honestly, baby, I'm here. I'm here with you. You know?
Okay. I just want to make sure you're okay. I've been in this business long enough to know when dreams seem a little bit foreboding is all. And you told me something was wrong, right?
Oh, of course I would. Oh, honey, why would you think that I'd hold anything back from you? You're the love of my life. I'd do anything for you.
I for you. And I kiss the back of her knuckles. I stand up and just kind of straighten up my clothes. I'm like, all right. Oh, we got some business to take care of today. You ready?
I'm ready. We've got this, dear. We are ready. We are prepared. We are going to make amends with Timmy Twinkletoes. We are good.
All right. Let's go get this damn ring. And we exit.
Awesome.
All right. So you guys all rendezvous downstairs in the Bear Owl Bureau?
Mm-hmm. Barry's eating granola.
I love it.
I think Grath is just like constantly like nibbling on some bacon, but he's not like shoving it into his mouth like he normally does. Like, he always acts like he's hungry, but he seems perturbed.
Okay. Is there any other prep you need to do?
God, Balinor, you need to get in your costume. Wrath, do you mind helping him get all spiffied up, please?
Very well. We'll probably also need to do one more check to see if you have all your mannerisms ready.
Do that closer to call time.
All right, let's get this shindig ready.
Now, Matt gave us some information on how to act.
Giving you etiquette and stuff. I'm just going to assume that you guys know that and you follow.
Like how to act, like if you're from Fami. Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, tell us a little bit about Fami.
Fami is a very strict culture based off, as Sean likes to accuse me, being of a, what is it, Sean? Japanophile or something like that?
Yeah. Yep.
And basically it's just orcs who, before Wizards of the Coast changed it, that evil races are not a thing anymore. These orcs are of honor. They have strict culture of like how you should act, how important honor is. Like if you meet somebody that's of higher standing or lower standing, this is how you should act.
And it's not just all orcs, right?
No, it's mostly the clans themselves that act a certain way. Most of the other orcs that don't, they're not part of these major clans. They tend to act like normal folk. They're not prim and proper unless they choose to be. Like they don't have their nose up in the air like other clan members sometimes and all that. But yeah, it's just like I think Rathul's just teaching them how to be snooty, I guess. Well, it's mostly just him like showing how to properly bow and like how to address somebody that's not a clan member or something like that.
Okay.
And
cuckoo, tight, tight, tight.
Yep. Basically, knowing how to be very strict about how they talk.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. Mm-hmm. Anything else you guys want to do before this whole shindig gets going? I mean, Ben's got to get to work, so.
Balinor
has to get to work.
Mid-morning, I believe, like 11-ish, right?
I don't know. I thought we said noon, but I don't know, because my notes from when I took on that got deleted by roll 20. So,
oof.
Along with the guy's name that I know I wrote down.
Hold on.
Didn't do it this time because my money didn't get reset again.
Good luck.
I'm looking through my notes real fast just to make sure I didn't fucking miss anything. All right, so we all know what's going to happen. Eleanor's going to go to work. He's going to scout out the stuff. We're going to show up later tonight for the party, dressed as ambassadors from Famine. And then he's going to rendezvous with us at said party as the busboy, butler, something or the other.
Yeah, he's going to get there at noon. You guys have until 6. The party doesn't begin until 6. So.
What time do our shadow shenanigans happen?
Yours
and mine? About
6 o'clock-ish.
Six. Okay, cool. And it only lasts for a minute or two.
It lasts for an hour.
An hour, okay. Yeah.
So, I'm going to fast forward just a little bit so we can get rolling on this. Benjamin, it's getting close to time that you need to be at work.
All right.
At your job.
Or you're late.
Or one you're of late, the two. And you don't have a job.
You're late, you're fired.
So... do you make your way over there? Are you going with the group? What's your guys' plan?
Sorry, repeat that.
I said, are you going over there as a group? Ben, are you just heading over solo and planning on rendezvousing with them at the party?
I believe the plan was I'm going over there by myself and meeting them at the party.
So, Ben, you are you putting on your costume like you did before?
Yeah.
Okay. You suit up. You get to the place. There is a lot of hustle and bustle prepping the final stuff. There appears to be some people on a roof assembling some sort of paper dragon that kind of encompasses the whole roof of the house. It goes up about 2 stories in a spiral pattern above the house, held up by these long sticks. And there's lanterns and all sorts of stuff everywhere, people putting the finishing touches. You make your way to the back serving quarters. There are a few people making their way in and out. There's a dwarf there that looks at you and says, "Oh, you made it. Welcome. We said you're going to be serving this evening, it's best you probably familiarize yourself with the dishes that are going to be served this evening so you can talk about it to the guests, as well as getting to know the other people working with you. So come with me." You walk in. Right as you walk into the serving area, there appears to be a rack of outfits. The dwarf kind of rifles through them really quick and tosses some your way. It appears to be a sort of suit that everybody seems to be wearing. It's very much serving attire. So, and there's changing rooms in the serving room or servants' room. People are going in and out. As well as a wash basin and things like that. You get your clothes on, and the dwarf ushers you to the room next door, which appears to be a pantry, where there are coming and goings of different people getting ingredients for dishes and things like that. As you then cut left down to the south into the kitchen, there are people feverishly working. There's people yelling. As you walk in, all of a sudden a knife embeds itself in the door frame next to you as a halfling runs screaming out behind you, and this cook just picks up another knife and gets ready to huck it, and he's like next time you fuck up the fish, I'm not gonna miss. As they're all just kind of going back and forth, these very beautiful little dishes individually made are going onto serving trays as things are being prepped. The dwarf ushers you over to a small prep area where the servants are being shown these individual dishes. Your day is going to involve things much like this. There appears to be a lot of raw fish. There appears to be some different fried foods. And then you're shown your circuit. So as you make your way through, you cut left to the Great Hall, which is where you're going to be doing the majority of your serving. Actually, that's probably the only area. You're told to stay within that area. You're not to stray at all to any other parts of the building. You're told that there's a sitting room next door, next to the Great Hall in this area. And I'll go ahead with that. But you are not allowed to go in there. You are literally making your rounds in the Great Hall and cycling back to the kitchen to get more appetizers, then back into the Great Hall, cycle back and forth. They also have a beverage station, so should you be requested to bring someone a beverage, you can get that from the kitchen as well. And you just begin to familiarize yourself with everything.
Okay. Yeah. Do I know what room is attached to the Great Hall?
You have not been led in there, but okay. Give me a perception check.
All right. Great. 22.
Yep. As you see people coming and going, you recognize that as the main entry hall. And with your crit, you even get to see parts on the sides there. You can see, you notice with your perception as you're going in and out of the Great Hall, there's a main entry hall. There appear to be guards coming in and out of this room that's just to the south of the kitchen. They're kind of milling their way through, so you would assume that that room is a guard post. And then there's a little vestibule where it appears that they are doing a coat check.
Okay.
You noticed a door to the north in the pantry, but that door has remained closed.
Okay, so I came in the servants' room, into the pantry, and then the kitchen, and the Great Hall. And yep. Those are the areas that I'm supposed to stay in, is those four rooms?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Anything else you'd like to try and do before the party gets...
He would probably ask, you know, is there someplace, you know, is there a bathroom in here if he or one of the guests needs to go or something?
Oh, it's servants' room. Those are the lavatories that we're allowed to use.
Okay, what if a guest asks me where they are?
There is a bathroom off the Great Hall, as well as the sitting room. So you would most likely motion them to the bathroom that's just off the Great Hall.
Okay.
Can immediately take a dump break at work. Your first new job. Right.
Secretly taking a hit from something.
Just busting out your writing tablet and spending way too long on the toilet. Playing a game of hand-drawn Angry Birds. where you draw really mad birds.
My boss makes a dollar, I make a dime. That's why I shit on company time.
That's good. I'm going to have to use that.
And as you kind of see, as you're milling around, you do see very finely dressed woman and man walk up to the dwarf. They appear to be engaged in some sort of conversation. She appears to be wearing a mask that's covering the majority of her face that's kind of got like a bird beak on it. And she's got this massive plumage coming off of her head. She's wearing long black gloves and ruby jewelry, long flowing black dress. The gentleman she's with, who she's got her arm around, appears to be wearing a very expensive-looking tuxedo, wearing kind of like a Phantom of the Opera-type mask, and they're kind of engaging in some sort of conversation with this dwarf. As they finish their conversation, the dwarf bows and then walks back into the kitchen as you're in the Great Hall, just kind of milling about, and then in and out of the kitchen, you know, learning different things.
Okay.
Let's cut back to everybody else. So the day is wearing on. It's getting closer and closer to festival time. Party time. What are you guys doing? What are your costumes?
Barry looks exactly the same except for two things. One, small bow tie. Two, a little jingly ball on the top of his hat.
I love it.
He's now formal.
So,
there's a bow tie on the dog too. Forgot.
Let me just one second. Wrath, you're kind of perturbed by the fact that this is like a masquerade party and it's supposed to emulate Fami culture. Seems like they have something wrong with what this festival's supposed to be. Generally, there's like dancing in the streets in a very like.
Almost like carnival.
Asian kind of thing. They have those dragons that they walk down the street with, you know what I mean, and dance the dragons around.
Right.
It's like the harvest festival. So it celebrates harvest, it celebrates all that. But from what you're gathering, they aren't quite in touch with Fami culture. Kind of some
So
sort
it's
of,
it's cultural yeah. appropriation is what you're saying.
It's pretty much cultural appropriation, yeah.
In I don't really think he's really told outside of until like last week that he was from Fami, so I don't think that anybody would really understand how inappropriate this is.
Yeah.
And but Rathul's trying to be better because he was kind of called out being hot-headed, so
yeah.
He's
took you that long.
He's learning. Don't give him a hard time now.
Yeah, it's kind of like Mardi Gras in Louisiana versus Carnival in Rio.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit.
Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Rath is just like trying to keep it upper stiff upper lip so he doesn't like cause a scene.
Yeah.
And but he's sending looks at Ophelia and Kuvion, and he's like, he is not happy.
Yeah.
What's wrong there, Rath?
This, they are doing a harvest festival, but clearly this is nowhere near Fami, and this seems to be, an appropriation of my culture.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate. That can't be fun to be around.
No, it is not. But I am trying to keep a lid on my temper, as it was.
Well, I definitely appreciate you telling us and keeping the temper in check. But why don't, when all this is done, why don't you show us what a festival of Fami should look like?
Personally, I just want us to get this done.
And we will. Damn. And I mean, we'll get in and out as quick as possible. Yeah. Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
So Lauren and I, and I'm sorry, I guess I do. I'm not going to bus. But maybe I will. Okay, Lord and I are a little confused. Okay. Yeah, we're a little confused on exactly what our mechanic looks like for this. Are we both physically present, or am I present and Lauren is my shadow?
Lauren would be your... we'll say that this... you guys. Well, it depends on when you want to go. If you get there right at 6, you guys are going to be separate people.
But only for a little bit, like 10, 15 minutes.
7, if you wait until 7 p.m., it's an hour.
So okay, so you give us an hour? PM, okay, yes, I was under the impression we had... well, it hasn't actually become an issue until now about time. Okay, so this is important. So then, Lauren, like...
funny.
And maybe we have this conversation with Rath real quick and Dingle. I'll just have it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just a really quick question, my compatriots. Do you think we can get in and out within an hour?
Well, if they have even a modicum of understanding what this harvest festival is going to be like, we might have a chance of them being busy with the moon viewing, as it were.
And that's wonderful, and I love that, but I mean, through all tasks, I mean...
I can hustle.
Ophelia and I basically either need to show up late to the party, or we need show up on time and get in and out. So we just need to know. I think we can get in and out pretty quickly, but I just wanted your opinion.
It might be best to be on time because what's the phrase? Fashionably late does not exist in Fami culture.
Duly noted, dear. So just so you know, we only have 1 hour. Right, my love? So
like, you explained this, like, situation, like, when you first hired us onto the bureau, right?
Oh, no. You knew us as two separate people. We've only been doing this for, like, a week or two. So, okay. You guys know us as... yeah, I know. It's kind of confusing playing it as we get along, you know.
But we are aware of what's going on, right?
Yes. And so, yeah. I'm just stressing. So, we're going to go to the party, but if we start approaching on 7 o'clock, we're going to have to go. And I mean, you guys can finish out, but you will not have our help because I don't think my beloved turning into a shadow would really bode well for our cover.
It certainly wouldn't help. If we have to, I can provide a distraction by, I don't know, like saying...
I'm good at juggling.
We could just slip away. I'm just letting you know that you won't have backup. We'll find a way. We have the sewer. You know, we have an escape plan, but We just need to make sure that we do this in a timely manner, quickly, swiftly. That's what I'm talking about.
We are. Don't worry, Jingle. Someone will see our juggling routine eventually.
We're getting on to about 5:45 p.m.
Okay, all right. So Lorne and I look fucking bomb AF. Okay. We're so beautiful.
So you guys haven't split yet, though.
No, I know.
You guys will split at 6.
We may have to show up just
at 7.
Well, she looks great. Can she look bomb AF? And eventually I will too. Yes. Thank you.
Delightful.
All right. Perfect. I think we're heading up with our invitations to the front door. Well, I mean, obviously we got to wait 6. Like, can we just be in the outskirts? Like, you know,
sure.
Send them first.
I like to think also Rethul is like, he has a very sharp look because of his +3 to charisma. So I'm going with that.
Absolutely. What are you wearing? What do you look like? What's your costume? If you're wearing a costume, because it is a masquerade.
Well, I think for Rathul, he was understanding this was supposed to be a traditional Fami cultural festival or something like that.
Are you going to wear like traditional garb?
Garb, yes, but not his personal ones for reasons.
Okay. So then you'll just kind of wear things in the style of Fami that would be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe closer to of a.
A kimono.
Yeah. Not kimono, because I am not like that. Know.
I'm kidding. What would it be? I can't remember what.
The Japanese take of a tuxedo.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Then Barry Dingle's dressed formally, as formally as Barry Dingle can be. Ophelia, what are you wearing?
I feel like Ophelia would be wearing, she wouldn't be wearing a dress. She'd be wearing like, very nice collared, like, breasted swallowtail jacket that's deep blue with like purple and gold embroidery on it, with some dark like black pants to match and some boots, like just black boots that kind of go up to her legs, and she looks very like very slick. And then the mask she's wearing is just a beautiful black like laced mask that covers the top half of her face.
Okay. And then Kuviana, you haven't been able to put on a costume yet, so.
Nope.
Are you packing something? Are you guys packing something for her, or?
She's got to disguise self.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. She's packing heat.
Sounds like a plan. So you guys are walking down the street, and as you kind of come up, you can kind of hear the banging of drums, and you see a people milling about. There are some poor people outside watching the festivities longingly as guests queue up to get in, showing their passes. You see kind of down the alleyway, someone is kicked out a side door, and this piece of paper is thrown at them and says, "That's not an invitation. Do not come back, or your next visit will not be so peaceful." As you guys kind of queue up at the front, there appears to be a finely dressed elf checking over invitations. The couple in front of you goes in as you guys make your way to the elf, and he says, "Yes, welcome to the festivities. Invitations, please."
I just like silently like hand it to him while I'm like looking at the people who have been like denied access to this, because I think Rathul, even though he's very private about it,
everybody would be welcome in.
Yeah, because these are like big village festivals, so the idea of this being like a private party, even though he's full of himself, but this is a problem to him.
Ah, Mr. Gestalt, we've been waiting for you. Is this your family?
Yes, I must say it's unusual to see such a festival such as this to be a private event.
Oh, well, we wouldn't want the rabble getting into some sort of festivities like this. I know the Mr. Bulbeck is very curious on your thoughts on her representation of the festival here in our part of the world. She's expecting you. Please, you come with me. As he ushers you through, there are some people waiting in line as he kind of takes you past them, you guys walk into the Great Hall, and he looks around and he says, you there. And he points at you, Balinor. He says, grab their coats, take them to the check.
Yes, sir. And I will do so. And as I'm doing so, since I'm taking it from the party, so I'll also hand them a map that I drew of like the areas that I figured out.
I pass off. Nice.
You grab their coats. You deftly tuck this into Wrath's pocket as you're taking his coat. And you then are to go to the vestibule, which you haven't been to before. As you make your way through to the vestibule, you can kind of see to the south that there appears to be a second entryway to the south that appears that some people are going in that way. See, from what you could take of this, certain people have certain invitations, other people have other invitations, and there's two kind of separate party things going on where you think the elites end up in the Grand Hall and everybody else kind of ends up in the in the south part, in this second entry. Okay. You guys, the group comes in and you're escorted in forward into this great hall. As you walk in, it's a massive, massive room. There's all sorts of paintings in the room that you can tell probably are very pricey. There appears to be someone playing the piano in the corner, accompanied by someone playing a guzheng, which is kind of like a Chinese long stringed instrument. It's very beautiful. That is kind of traditional to your part of the world, Wrath. It's probably the first traditional thing you've seen here outside of maybe the dragon on the roof.
Most likely.
Yep. There appears to be different fruits and vegetables piled on a large table in the center of the room. And there's like, it's kind of kitsch. There's like bags where people can fill with these fruits and vegetables and take with them when they go, as kind of symbolic of the harvest festival kind of thing. Generally in Fami, it would be everybody goes through the main city out in the fields and everybody works together to harvest.
Right.
But this is, yeah, this is what it is.
I wouldn't say he's upset, but he's more like slightly disturbed.
Yeah. It's just, they're just doing it wrong. I mean, they're trying to pay homage and enjoy the festivities, but they're just doing it wrong. They haven't done their research.
Yeah, it's definitely that. And I think the whole issue with him is it's a private event, which is kind of like foreign to him, the idea that a harvest festival is private.
Yep. Yep. So you're guided through, and eventually you're brought before the people I described earlier, this woman with this very tall plumage in her hair with the mask that's got like a bird beak. She's got a very fine ruby necklace, ruby rings festooned all across her hand as she looks at you. And the what's his name? The guy who lets you in basically bows to her and says, "My lady, may I present to you the Gestalt family, led by their patriarch, Gerald?" He says, "Oh. Well, you made it. I'm so glad you're here. How was your trip over the sea?" As she puts her arm in your arm, Wrath, and she says, "As you can see, we've created things as authentically as possible. I hope you will be pleased with our plentiful table of offerings, as well as the music and the decorations, and of course the masquerade."
Rathil doesn't really say much at first. Like, you can't, like, I'm pretty sure if the rest of the party looked at him, they might see like a slight bulge of a vein in his neck. Clearly, like, he's very perturbed, but then he's like put on like a winning smile. He's like, "Yes, you have done an amazing job representing my culture."
Giddy at this. She puts her hands together and she kind of bounces a little bit.
"I am greatly honored."
"I am greatly honored that you're here and that you came to our festival of all places. I mean, you could have been home for this, and I know you were traveling abroad and this was at your convenience, but we are very glad you're here." As she nods to you, she says, "Please explore the rest. We have a traditional Fami cuisine. We have all of the, hopefully, things you enjoy at home here for you. Let's talk later." And she looks the family over, nods to you, kind of grabs you by the hand, bows a little bit, and then backs away, like, bowing. which is really weird. She's acting really weird. Like, she's really trying to impress you.
Yeah, like, she's doing, like, the type of bow, like, a servant would give to a nobleman instead of just, like...
Yeah, something way off. Exactly.
I do kind of, like, have, like, a small chuckle to myself when I see that.
Balinor, you have just received a fresh tray of appetizers. It appears to be some sort of crudité and then some sort of raw fish with it as you're making your way around the room. You can kind of see the party across the room. What do you guys do?
When I make sure like we are like out of prying eyes for a little bit, I quickly open the map that Balinor gave me and make sure the others see it. And it's like, looks like Balinor was able to do some scouting for us.
Sweet.
I mean, that
what
was
am
Nick.
I doing here? What do I do?
Your job is to whenever we find that room is to get in, swap out rings, and get out.
Okay,
that's your job. That's yours possible. And Balinor's job.
I'll wait here.
Okay, Ath, you're doing wonderful. I know this is bothering you. Hold on to that until we might need a distraction. Okay.
She's just lucky this is not Fami.
You guys are chatting. This very stout, Rubenesque guy, huge, just kind of walks up behind Ophelia and hits her on the back, and he says, "Oh, you must be Xanathia. Pleasure to meet you. I heard you're quite the fighter."
"Oh, goodness me. You're so kind, sir. I'm so sorry. What was your name?"
"It's not important. I'm a huge fan. In the pits, I heard you just ruthless, brutal. But yes, my name is Charles."
"Charles, it is so kind to meet you. Yes, I do fight often. I'm very flattered that you found me here. Unexpectedly.
I figured you to be more fierce. Your voice is so silky."
"Well, you know... sometimes surprises come in the softest packages. That's where I take advantage."
"Well,
this is so painful."
"No, you crushed it. You're doing great, Lauren.
This may be a bit forward of me, but I know you are unbetrothed at the moment, and I was just curious. May I have this dance?"
Rithul just looks like the biggest shitty
ingredient.
As you
kind of look around, there are people kind of looking at you guys. Like,
shit.
Ruby does not like this.
Somehow this Gestalt family was very much anticipated by a lot of people here. And apparently... and Matt, you would have heard of the Gestalt family.
Like, would I know of who Ophelia is impersonating? Do I know of that person in particular?
Yeah. She, when they say fighting in the pits, what it actually means is like when you guys go train and do all that, she's probably like a master swordsman and she does teaching and instruction. She's known as one of the better swordsmen in there.
I think when he says famous in the pits, quote unquote, I might be like, sir, she is a master and therefore is in need of the proper respect."
"Oh, I'm so sorry, Your Highness," which is also not correct.
"It's okay. I would be so honored to dance with you."
He takes his arm out and he kind of puts your arm on his and walks you towards dance floor.
Oh, boy.
And he begins to vibrate and kind of twirl. And at one point he looks at it, stops for a second and looks at his hand, nods yes, and then he does a few more steps.
He has the dance moves on his hands, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's trying to replicate this dance that Wrath, you recognize it. And then the song comes to a close, and they begin another song. Everybody take off your headphones except for Matt.
Oh, boy.
No. Okay. I'm going to be right back anyways.
I'm scared.
You should be.
Matt.
Yes.
The song begins with a long tone of a string, and then a second one, second pluck, third pluck, fourth pluck, fifth pluck, as it begins faster and faster and faster. Then someone begins accompanying with another stringed instrument. violinist walks in from another room and they begin playing with each other. The song comes to you and you're thinking on it. I remember this song. You have a flashback to your dream. It's the very song you were instructing as the instruments came to life and began to play on the stage. And as it came to a crescendo, you couldn't remember it. And then it came to a crashing halt. What is your instrument of choice?
I don't remember. I need to look it up, but it's that it almost looks like a violin, but it's the Japanese one where it only has like three strings at most.
Yeah.
Let's okay. See. Hold on. I probably can get it up real quick. Let's see. It is called a koku. KOKYU.
You have one of those?
Yes.
Okay. And you usually keep it on your person?
Traditionally, yeah, because it almost kind of looks like a mix of a violin and a banjo.
Okay.
Here, I'll send it to you in pod talk.
Okay. So as you're listening to this lilting tune, your mind goes back to when you were first learning this instrument in Fami. The instruction that you had from it, the first songs you learned, you fumbled your way through. You got your hands whipped every time you missed a note, you know, wrapped with a piece of reed, until eventually over time you became a master of this instrument. No great warrior should not have a soft side with music. As you kind of grew as a performer, it was recognized that though you are great in battle, your musical prowess sometimes outshines it. And so you were put into a very specific place within Fami society. You were a part of, you were a part of like their military or whatever, right? Because I'm thinking everybody has to serve there at some point. So not only were you battle hardened by that, but you were also requested to play at all the basically different military things that would happen. Your name grew as a performer.
It was kind of like, especially for my clan that I belong to, it was almost expected for us to be in the military and then expected to rise in the ranks to be either a retainer or of the current general or something like that and all that kind of stuff.
Did you ever see battle?
Yes, but the problem is he would perform admirably, but the problem is he was always compared to a famous figure in his clan that died a couple years ago, and that it's almost kind of the whole like he's great, but he's not as good as this guy, so he's always in the shadow of somebody.
Do you mind if I take some liberties really quick?
Sure, as long as it's the one I told you about.
It's something completely separate.
Oh, okay.
So, after this battle, this small city was kind of torn apart. And as you're kind of wandering the streets after the fight, it's about a day after the fight, you find your way to a music hall. And you walk into this music hall and there's just kind of things strewn about. There's chairs tipped over. It's a complete mess and it's completely empty. There's some instruments strewn about on the stage. And it's just kind of a testament to the ravages of war and the toll it takes on people around. And I would imagine, what would you have done in that moment of seeing this basically concert hall, a place for coming together over music, empty, in shambles?
Even though he at first kind of hated his instrument because he always thought that battle was his way of gaining glory, because even as when he was younger, glory was so important to him because, like I said, he was in the shadow of somebody else. So, but then he grew to love it because he realized the music he would play is for him and him alone.
Okay.
And I think what he would do is the idea of a music hall, like in such a shape and no music, is very disheartening. And to fix that, he probably picked up like one of the few chairs that were still like intact and sat down and just started playing his koku.
As the notes begin to come back to you, you're playing this song and you're finally recognizing this is the song in the dream. This is something you hadn't thought of in a very long time. And you can't explain why you couldn't remember it up to this point. But when you open your eyes, after kind of remembering all this, You open your eyes and you're back in this masquerade hall, but you're standing next to the musicians who have stopped playing. You're holding your instrument, and as you play the final note, everybody is just kind of in awe, standing and looking at you. Let's bring everybody back in. Are you cool with me doing this?
Yeah, that's fine. It's just like, I think Rathul would kind of have like a bit of a blush. Like, he usually has better control of himself.
Hi!
Hello.
Hello.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, so as you guys were kind of standing around, just kind of chatting and taking in the scene, all of a sudden you look over and Wrath is gone. And then you hear this instrument begin to play over by the where the instruments are playing, and it's extremely well played. It's beautiful. You hear these plucks of this string and then long stringed notes. It's very sullen, but very beautiful. And it begins to overtake the sound in the room. Even though people are chatting, you guys can't hear anything but this music for some reason. Even if you would want to like lean in to like the person next to you and say, wow, this is beautiful, all they would be able to see is your mouth move. They can't hear anything. The only thing that you can hear is the sounds coming from this instrument, and it's being played by Wrath. And everybody all of a sudden grows quiet and is just watching Wrath. His eyes are closed. He's into it. Beads of sweat begin to come down his forehead as almost a tear rolls down from his eye. And then with a final flourish, the song comes to a close. Sound comes back into the room. But there was definitely an absence of sound except for this song, as then Wrath kind of looks around at everyone and everybody's just staring at him in awe of what just happened. And it's quiet for a second until in the back you hear, "Bravo! Bravo!" As then people look back and it appears to be De Bulbeck, Miss De Bulbeck in her beaked mask, looking upon Wrath as and now everybody understands, even though they're confused about what just happened, they all begin to cheer and applaud as Wrath, you are greeted with this applause.
Rathul just like is kind of taken aback at first because, for one thing, he didn't think he was just going to randomly walk up and start playing, and graciously nods his head and thanks, and like then just quickly puts the instrument back and thanks the band for allowing him to play, and goes back to the group with.
And I don't even think this was your instrument. I think it was just sitting with the other instruments off to the side. You know what I mean? You just were drawn to it and you started playing it.
And Wrath just walks away after a bit of a blush on like his green. I can't remember.
They're orcs? Gray.
Gray.
You can have green skin if you want, though.
Nah, gray would make more sense in this. Like his gray skin kind of like just darkens from the blush.
Yep.
And just walks back to the group.
Okay.
It's like, can we not speak of this?
I didn't know you could play.
I mean, that was a surprise.
He did music. You've never heard anything that beautiful come out of his fingertips before.
It's a private thing.
Pretty public.
Yes. It made no sense to me.
I don't know what that means, but I mean, it was beautiful. Wrath, thank you so much for playing for us. But I hate to be a burden, but we need to hurry.
Yes, let's get this done.
Am I still dancing with Charles?
Yes, you were on the dance floor with Charles as this was happening, as you both kind of stopped and watched. Charles kind of turns back to you and says, "Oh, that beautiful song and a beautiful dance. I was wondering, would you like to have a nightcap with me after this evening?"
Oh, that's very kind of you. You'll have to see where the evening takes me. Our family's very, we have a curfew sometimes, but I'll see what I can do.
Well, very well. I look forward to it. You can find me. I'll just wait out front for you.
Okay,
very nice to meet
Charles.
You. Charleston makes his way out front and is just kind of standing there. Yeah. What are you guys doing?
That's a problem.
Question,
I can grab my wife real quick.
Question. Who was Lauren's character supposed to impersonate again?
I was supposed to be Cynthia.
And then I was Sophie. The choice of Sophie. Yep.
I'm Sophie.
You're Dirge, right?
Right. I think when she comes back, he's like, you know, the real Cynthia would actually chop off his head for being so forward.
Look, no one told me this. We got shit to do. Why don't we try to find that room now?
Yes.
Balinor gave us pretty good. Enough. Yeah, Balinor gave us a pretty good map, but we need to find that room quickly. All right. So,
that's
you're trying to think. Sorry. Lauren brain farted really bad.
That's okay, boo. So what was all that about?
I'm sorry, love. I'm trying to play the part. It's not going super duper great.
I know. Just, you know, be careful. Don't like you wandering off that far from me.
I know, but there were a lot of people watching, and it felt like if I said no, it would have been worse for us.
I understand.
Where's Balinor? Balinor now.
Balinor is somewhere across the Great Hall handing out snacks.
Balinor and Barry, I'll get a hold of Balinor. But Barry, why don't you and Balinor go searching up north north up past the pantry? Kind of check out that area.
Got it.
And start there. And then the rest of us will probably check out around that second entry.
So, who's going where? Who wants to go first?
I'll go. I'm going to go to that pantry.
Get Balinor. Get Balinor to go with you.
Well, I wander off. Is Balinor there?
Balinor, you see Barry Dingle heading towards the kitchen. You know that waitstaff is anybody but waitstaff is not allowed in there, as you can kind of see the bell of his hat, like above the crowd, kind of wandering its way towards the kitchen.
He's going to. How close is the rest of the party?
They're kind of in the middle of the Great Hall. I think either going to make their way south towards the entry hall. Is that what you were doing?
Because my plan right now is to basically give the rest of the snacks that I have to the party.
Okay.
Thank God.
follow Barry.
As you give the rest of the snacks to the party, kind of like, you know, just as a servant would, you make your way, and it appears Barry is being now stopped by a very large individual that says,
I'm sorry, sir. You may not go in here. This is waitstaff only. You wouldn't want to be back there anyway.
Well, the thing is that I do. Because I'm hungry.
I can get you anything you would like from this. And look right there. You, go get this gentleman a snack. And he's motioning.
Oh, yes. Hard. Snacks. That's why I'm here.
Yes, sir. Well, the he had mentioned earlier that he had some specific dietary restrictions, and I wasn't entirely sure what he was able to eat.
Anything that's ever touched a nightshade is strictly off limits.
Also gluten.
Okay, I can instruct the chef accordingly and have something specially made for you.
Have you ever heard of the whisperberry?
Can't say that I have, though I am no
culinary. Well, it kills me, so you better not.
Sir, should I just take him? I can escort him in, and he can verify whatever we have is.
Give me a persuasion check.
Sure.
Can I make him roll at advantage by being extra fussy? Oh, all right, you did all right.
22.
just this once, in the interest of serving our guests properly, he could tour the kitchen with you.
Thank you.
Please be quick. They are busy back there.
Yes, sir.
He lets you guys pass. You guys make your way into the kitchen, which is a flurry of things. There's like, you know, all of a sudden there's like a small explosion of flour in the corner. There's Someone drops a pot, it clangs to the ground. You hear multiple curse words. Someone's chiding a sous chef. It's just a mess.
Where's the lamb sauce?
I don't know.
So at this point, Barry turns to Balinor and just goes,
I really don't know what to do. I am not good at this kind of thing. Do you know where I'm supposed to go yet?
This way. I'm going to lead him into the pantry because at this point, we're past anyone who's going to stop us.
As you walk through towards the pantry, this halfling says, where are you going with him? He's not supposed to be back here.
I don't like gluten.
What is gluten?
I'm not entirely sure.
But it kills me.
I was instructed to bring him back here to ensure that whatever that is not in our food.
All right. I mean,
I have a royal decree. I can find it. It's somewhere around here. Hold on.
Is that Mr. Gestalt? Is he a member of the Gestalt family?
Oh, yes.
Oh, pardon me, sir. As he bows to you, walks his way out, and he walks in the pantry and says, clear the pantry, clear the pantry. This is Mr. Gestalt. He has a dietary restriction. He must accept the food personally. As then this halfling begins ushering people out, shooing them, as then you guys are now left in this pantry alone. There appears to be a door to the north, but there's all sorts of ingredients.
I hate to really meet with the real Gestalt family by accident now, guys.
That's gonna suck ass for us.
I'm gonna take some fucking road snacks. We're in a pantry, right? I mean, like, we got time, right? We got time.
So as you're taking road snacks, we're gonna cut back to the other, and then we'll come back.
I've never been left alone in a pantry before. I'm sorry, guys.
Listen, we understand.
I expect you to have a list of things you're taking by the time we get back to you.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Okay.
I got you.
You guys have made your way south from the Great Hall to the Entry Hall where you initially came in. You know, the coat check is to the west. And according to your map, there's a guard room to the to the south is the courtyard that you came in from.
Did we actually have we do have a map we could be looking at. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now.
I had no idea there was an actual.
Oh, man.
Can you not?
A miracle if we make it through this.
No, we're not going to. It's fine. All right. Okay. So, Sean.
Can you see the map on the screen?
Yes, I can. Okay. Where exactly are
you guys
we?
Okay, are right here.
Okay. All right. So, we're in the entry hall. And then, based on what Balinor gave us, where's the best way to go?
You don't know.
Oh, I thought Balinor gave us.
Balinor has no idea where he's only uncovered these rooms so far.
Like we had to uncover the room.
That's what he gave us. Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Obviously, the room we want to get to is away from any possible public traffic. So maybe we want to check in the southeast. No, yeah, southwest area.
And what her worst case scenario, we could always ask the kind lady for a tour of her grand home.
That might seem suspicious. I mean, I appreciate where your head's at, but I think that might backfire.
Yes.
All right, let's go.
If we have to, I guess I have an in with her. Like you can see, Rethul's like very uncomfortable with the idea.
I'm not going to ask you to do anything more than you're already uncomfortable with. Why don't we just go ahead and check out like you said, the southwest area, the second entry, and just kind of look through there. And if anyone asks, we're looking for the bathroom because that always works.
Exactly. Yeah. This is why you're the brains of the operation, Matthew.
Also, I'm not going to lie, it took Matthew a bit to figure out cardinal directions.
That's fair.
It happens. So, where are you guys going?
So we're going to go to the southwest, Sean, and start uncovering rooms.
Probably through the vestibule? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, vestibule.
You make your way through there and go into the second entry where there appears to be a gathering of people enjoying cocktails. It's not as lavish as the Grand Hall, but there appears to be a party going on here.
Hmm. Cool. The doorways open here?
There's a door to the west and a door to the south. The door to the south is open. Peering through, you can see that it is basically a hallway leading to a closed door currently. So this direction is a closed door. This room is a hallway right here, mm-hmm. a corridor, and then this room appears to be closed.
Mm. Okay. What do you think?
Sean, noticeably, is anybody, I mean, I know there's people in there, but is there one way that seems like we might be covered more? Like if we people actually be able to see us?
No, it's a big room and then a hallway to the south. And as you're peering to the south, someone appears to come out of the door to the south, kind of latching up their belt, and then leaves the door ajar.
So that's most likely the restroom.
You would yep. think so.
I think we go to the west. Sorry, I had to think about the same thing, Matthew. You're not the only one. Directions are hard.
Math and directions.
Yeah. So
the toilet.
Thank you, Sean. He put north, east, south, west on. Oh, who did?
That was me.
I was like, that was my next guess. I don't even know why I asked, Ben. I knew it was you.
Never eat seaweed?
No, never eat shredded wheat. Damn it.
No.
Matthew.
Soggy waffles.
Thanks, Ben. No, gross. Okay. So the second entry, is it a huge room or
it's
is
not
it like
as big? That's kind of it's like a hall. Like it's like a big room, but it's not like the great hall. It's enough to accommodate about 30 people.
Okay.
So we need to somehow get through this room. But it's most likely locked, correct?
You don't know. We haven't even tried.
We haven't tried. I'm going to sneak up and try to jiggle the handle, see if it opens.
Okay, give me a stealth check.
Cool, got it. I forgot how stealthy I am. Crushing it. I have an 11.
You think you're hidden? You
walk could I possibly like greet people, make them realize who I am, and
that's
maybe
kind of like
provide
distraction?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I guess then we'll go ahead and roll it again for advantage.
Sure. Can't you use that advantage?
Nope.
Oh my god.
Your 11 stands.
Oh my god. Oh god. No. Well,
people are kind of you're talking to Rath, and they're like, "Oh, yes, it's a pleasure to. Is that your daughter?" You try the handle, and the door appears to be locked.
Yeah, I was like, I was just trying to like, you know, jiggle it. I wasn't seeing if it was, you know.
Gotcha.
Oh, I do apologize. My daughter can be a bit curious about things. My apologies. I will.
Well, if she's curious, that just for your information, that is a guest room.
I see. I will reprimand her for that. Thank you so much.
No problem. It's just a pleasure meeting you. We're very excited you're here.
It's an honor to meet you all, and allow me to talk my daughter and remind her this is not our home, and therefore be discreet. And I go around and like walk up to her, and it's like, so this place checks out. These are just guest quarters.
Find that out. Let's cut back to the pantry.
Mary is sloshing around because he's got jars of peaches and
oh my god.
He's got produce. He's got crackers.
He's got grocery shopping, is what you're saying.
He's got pretzels, all good stuff. And then he did
in your cargo pants pockets.
Yeah, his cargo pants are fucking bulging.
Okay,
no, he's got a backpack that he carries, so it's all just getting shoved in there. But he's got like the typical like a baguette sticking out of it.
Right,
you know.
I picture you looking like what's that guy in The Legend of Zelda, the trader that just has that massive backpack?
Yeah, are you talking about the one with the creepy face?
Impa, I think is his name or something.
Probably Beetle.
This is going to be the
snacks
the one.
The Barry is going to pull out snacks for the rest of campaign just from this one.
Oh my god!
you have kids' snacks. I will say you can bring out any crazy ass food that you want.
For yeah, it'd be the bougie campaign snacks. It's right. Perfect.
There's a fucking jar of there's like a can of caviar in there. There's some
sure.
Oh my god.
All sorts of
oh
shit.
Yeah. Well, you gotta take the stuff that's expensive. Like I have a jar of saffron in my pocket yeah, now absolutely. For no reason besides that it's expensive.
Right.
And it was in there.
okay. So while he's grabbing stuff, the door north out of the pantry, is that locked?
Have you attempted it?
Yes.
It does appear to be locked.
Okay. You able to open up the door? Looks like it's locked.
Oh, sure.
And I'm going to roll a lockpick check, which is, I think, what is it, sleight of hand? Plus I have...
Are you proficient in sleight of hand?
I am. Boom. I'm opening roll 20. Hold on.
As you're trying to you hear a loud pop and bang coming from the area you came back in. You guys hear it also in the second entry.
That's probably bad.
And some explosions, and then there's some ooh. Yelling.
I
didn't add proficiency.
Yeah. So 14.
It's a fairly simple lock. You're able to figure out the mechanism as you crack it open and look in the other room. It appears to be servants' quarters, specifically for one servant. You would imagine that this is the like head servant's quarters. Give me an intelligence check, both of you.
Okay. I'm actually smart. 21.
21.
Extremely smart.
Knowing this, you would put two and together that in a grand mansion, the servants' quarters are probably right next to their master's quarters.
Ooh, I think we're close to the master's quarters. Let's keep going. We got a time limit, right?
Yep. So in this room, there appears to be a door to the west.
Is that door locked?
This appears to be Lord and Lady DeBulbeck's room. Very large bed with those curtains on it. There appears to be a secondary area with a large bathtub, as well as, you know, walk-in closets, massive surrounding mirrors. It's very lavish.
Can I roll an investigation check to try and find where this ring is?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I have a plus
look around,
eight and I rolled
you
a 10.
Can't,
whoa.
You can't quite make it out. There appears to be a heavily locked door to the south and a door to the west.
Well. Probably in the heavily locked door.
Okay. I rolled a natural one on my
band.
You cannot get it. You are unable to pick this lock.
This is heavily locked.
It appears to not be like a lock on the door. It appears to almost be a padlock on the door.
Hmm.
Any ideas?
Well, let's see.
Give me a perception check.
Yeah, I was going to try and look
everybody
around.
Both of you give me perception checks.
11.
21.
You're messing with this lock, Barry, but Balinor, you hear footsteps coming from the west, from the door to the west, as well as a jingling of keys.
Oh, Barry, we got to hide. Now.
Oh, can I hide under the bed?
Yeah. Give me a stealth check.
A stealth check, okay.
Uh-huh.
I was about to say, Barry, you got this, and give you Bardic Inspiration.
I mean, I would love that.
What's your Bardic Inspiration, a D4 or a D6?
D6.
Roll a D6. Okay.
4. 14.
You feel like you're hidden under the bed, Balinor, what do you do?
I am also going to hide. Is there anywhere to hide other than also under the bed?
There's all sorts of stuff. There's like one of those foldable dressing walls, you know what I mean? There's like a wardrobe, there's closets, there's... So just kind of pick one and...
Alright, I'll hide in a closet, I guess.
Okay, give me a stealth check.
Oh, no!
You begin to make your way into this closet as the door opens and you look behind you. And what you see, we'll find out next week.
Oh, no!
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Barry's going to let you get caught. Sucks, huh?
Oh, no.
Fired.
Yeah, you're getting fired. All right, well. Good luck, Ben.
Until next time, toodles.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.